Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, rock it up. Wouldn't it be so amazing?
Yep.
To see that new Jerusalem.
Can't wait.
Getting away from all this wickedness in the Babylonian system. I tell you, it's gonna be so beautiful. Yeah. Check it out.
To the apple for the final release. Edge on my seat, thinking how it's gon' be. But roof to your eyes if you witness the sea. It's so beautiful, it's so beautiful. Hey, New Jerusalem, the home of the free. Never looking back, so long is right. But roof to your eyes if you witness the sea. It's so beautiful, it's so beautiful. Hey, yeah. Tell the Abba I'm thankful for every breath.
Thank you, Father.
Every soul exonerated from persecution and death.
Yes.
See, the price was too high, yet you came and paid all the debt.
All of
how could a perfect being be tortured with no regrets? Can't imagine, but I'm striving to give you utmost respect. Having always walked uprightly, you could have killed me, except your love was long-suffering, wanted to give you my best. Gotta avoid these summoning blocks with nooses around our neck. Some hang they self with crime, not having members in check. Of their bodies and their folly, they miss the chosen elect.
Yes.
Ancient path is straight and narrow, how many chose to
they
go
chose
left?
To go
it
left,
ain't right. I can see it while taking these baby steps. Hallelujah. Love is simple, but man will make it complex. Caught up with what don't matter, they knowledge and intellect. See, if you're not humble, won't take the true introspect. Food for thought, hey shalom, I love you nevertheless. To the apple for the final release. Edge on my seat, thinking how it's gon' be. My roof to your eyes if you witness the sea. It's so beautiful, it's so beautiful. Hey, New Jerusalem, the home of the free. Never looking back, so long is right. My roof to your eyes if you witness the sea. It's so beautiful, it's so beautiful. Hey.
Yeah, I dig down deep, I'm in my thoughts, I try and map it out. We walking proof that your people, they can make it out. With signed scriptures on the net, they brewing for some clout. My chin is up, cause I know I'm covered by your cloud. Rainy days, I just smile when they come around. Collect them manna drops upon my head, they hit the ground. We see them trees, yeah, we grew up in a stony town. Lost some homies, cause they had the actions of a clown. My rearview mirror, it got broke a long time ago. I'm tired of Babylon, father, yeah, I wanna go. To the land of milk and honey, Ruah be my boat. Pain is in my chest, yeah, it almost made me choke.
It is.
Blood from the lamb, yeah, that's a righteous cloak.
It is.
My level to the east, that's the way we gotta go.
Right,
Jerusalem above and free is not no misty smoke.
Oh, no.
Remove your shoes and Abba house, we bout to touch the coast.
To the Abba for the final release. Edge on my seat, thinking how it's gon' be. My roof to your eyes if you witness the sea. It's so beautiful, it's so beautiful. Hey. New Jerusalem, the home of the free. Never looking back, so long is right. Roof to your eyes if you witness the sea. It's so beautiful, it's so beautiful. Hey.
To the Abba for your final release.
Hey.
Edge on your seat, thinking how it's gon' be.
The
roof of your eyes if you witness the sea. It's so beautiful,
beautiful.
So beautiful.
Hey.
New Jerusalem, the home of the free. Never looking back, so long is right. The roof of your eyes if you witness the sea. It's so beautiful, so beautiful. Hey, yeah. To the Abba Yahuwah.
All the stains.
I thank you for all that you do.
Yeah.
Getting your children back on the ancient path. What's up, Akzu? My Ak. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, my people. So beautiful.
All right, all right. Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I'm your host, Micah Israel. Let's see here. All right, everything is running on schedule. All right, good deal, good deal. All right, now today we need to play catch up, y'all. A few shows back, we ended chapter 4 of the Second Maccabees. I'm hoping, I really am, to knock out 5, 6, and 7. All right. Now, if I could achieve that, that'll be great because I want to constantly make this progress every show. And just get this book put behind us, okay? Because there's so much more to get into, y'all. There is a third Maccabees, all right? And I believe there's a fourth Maccabees, okay? So what we're going to do, we're going to read this first and second Maccabees. And then it's going to be a toss-up where to go from here. There's so much literature to choose from, all right? So we can fast forward and go into the New Testament and read some of the gospel that we're used to, you know, and look at it with a different point of view and think we can do anything y'all want to do, all right? I'm kind of studying for myself, you know, for my family. You know, I got children I got to teach, you know. And I'm sharing it live. I'm sharing it on air with the public, okay? So, hey, come join me with it, man. And it's going to be a toss-up where, there's a lot about what our New Testament that I haven't got all the way down or figured it all out, man. And last thing I want to do is come off as if I'm some kind of scholar or something. But if you're paying attention to my show, you know that I'm not that at all, right? I'm an everyday person, a trucker by trade, you know what I'm saying? And I believe, man, I got Christ in me, man. And, you know, I'm trying to do the Father's will, you know, to the best of my ability, you know. And mentally, I'm just seeking after his face, right? And I think a lot of people can relate to that, man. And it's in that respect that I'm thinking is what got you tuned in today. So, yeah, join me. Join me on this journey. I so appreciate it, okay? All right. I'll go to my call board. All right. Sister Dale, let me open up your mic, Sister Dale.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Sister Dale. How you doing?
I'm doing better today. Thank you very much.
All right.
Give all
praises
to the Most High. Yeah.
All praises goes to the Most High. Yes, yes. Like I was just saying, Sister Dale, you know, we can go anywhere we want to. You know what I'm saying? After we knock out this second Maccabees, we could go into some more, you know, apocrypha books or any of those lost books, the Book of Jubilees, you name it, any of the 12 patriarchs. And, so I'm just kind of doing this online, and I love that you're joining in with me to share that with you, Sister.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm so thankful to be a part of this and to learn as much as I can and to take time out and, just read more and find out information that was lost, that didn't come my way. So I'm trying to get it as much as I can, you know, that's going to help me. And I'm already at a point to where I already know where my position is. I need to be attuned to the Most High's laws and statutes. So I'm trying to obtain as much as I can so I can be follow the path,
ma'am,
of the Israelites.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well said. Well said. All right. Well, Sister Dale, I got some clips. All right. I got some clips.
Okay.
That, not on the topic necessarily, but it's worth listening to. Okay.
Okay.
These clips are concerning Esau. Okay. If you remember back in Genesis, Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac, he had a set of twins, Jacob and Esau. Okay. Now, I don't think read the book of Jasher on the show, or if we have, we only read like a chapter or two. Yeah. But in that book of Jasher, you know, or Yasher, however you want to say it, a descendant of Esau went into the Greek Empire fighting with their army, right? I say Greek, but it was the land of Chittim, which, if I'm not mistaken, Chittim covers all that kind of Europe. That's like the ancient name of that area right there. So where Rome is, all the way over to Macedonia, that's like Chittum, if I'm not mistaken, that whole
right there.
So anyway, he risen to be a general in their army, and then from general he became a king, right, and put the crown on his head.
Okay.
And when that happened, he's kind of got lost in time. You know what I'm saying, far as the scriptures go. But all of a sudden, here you pops up, you know, you got the Trojan Wars and all of that. You got Sparta. But out of all of that came Alexander the Great, you know. And so I believe that's that same lineage that come from Esau, right? I believe so. But there's a reason to believe that even the Romans over here, all right, before I go even, you know, telling you my thoughts on it, let me just start off, just kind of let you know kind of why I'm even going there. There's a lot of Israelites, different camps, you know, everywhere, in the belief that all Caucasians are Edomites. All right, and I'm in disagreement with that. All right, I know I don't know a whole lot to disagree with anybody really, but I can't digest it. Okay, it's hard for me to digest because a lot of Japheth, all right, in my understanding, are also Caucasian. Right? And what we were seeing is that a lineage of Esau, which is people of color, right, merged up there with them. All right? And then out of hundreds of years later, I think they got some kind of, I believe they're Caucasian in appearance. That's where I agree with those brothers on that. They're Caucasian in appearance. However, I don't think they literally, the whole population, turned them over to Edomites. You know what I'm saying? I think there's some kind of royal lineage, you know, in the Caucasian type of race, you know. That's Esau, if I'm making any sense to you. That's what I'm thinking. So instead of saying all white people are Edomites, I like to say that there are some, you know, some Edomites, but I don't think they're going to be truck drivers. I just don't think they're going to be trash men or a teacher at a high school or something like that. I literally think that their heaven is right here on earth. You know, they're on yachts right now, you know. Running nations. I really think that if it is Illuminati, I would think that would probably be Esau's descendants, right? I mean, this is where I'm at in my study, okay? And I want to just kind of put that out there, what I kind of into, and that's some of the reasons why we've been reading these books now, because I got to figure this out, you know? Because Apostle Paul, all right, when he was going around making churches up there in Europe, it just boggles my mind, you know, if you got us Israelite brothers are saying that it was nothing but Israelites in those churches that he set up, which I in agreement with, but they saying it's nothing but Israelites, you know, but like they're the only ones that was in the churches or something. And if they say, nah, there was Caucasians in the churches, then we got to evaluate everything in my mind. Okay. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because if Edomites, their heaven supposed to be right here on earth, and they're the end of the world. Esau is the end of the world. and it's Jacob that's going to take his spot, right? And when Jacob takes his spot, he's going to reign forever. We know that's Christ right there, right? When Jacob come up on the scene, Esau's going to go downhill. And Jacob's going to rule the world here on out. Right? So if Esau's playing a part back then, and he's got a part to play in our future, and we are in the last days right now. So by default, Esau, it should be some people running the world right now. And, you know, and we already know how Esau got these dukes in his lineage that they kind of, you know, after so far down the lineage or something, they start Duke of whatever, Duke of Earl or whatever. They start calling each other dukes and stuff like that, these titles. Well, when we look in the royalty in Great Britain, the British Empire, you know, we can definitely see a lot of dukes and stuff, that titles that they wear over there. So, I mean, definitely that, man. We definitely see Edomites being Caucasian. But is all Caucasians Edomites? You know? So I took it upon myself, because this has always been a thing, you know. And read the Maccabees. I got time to read. I can't wait to read. And I'm hoping that it can unravel things. I'm on my little journey, and I just kind of want the world to kind of tag along as I, you know, just, hey, I'm just trying to learn something, man. But I got a clip. And this clip is an Israelite brother. I'm not sure what camp he's with, but he got some information on the Edomites, and I'm going to listen in for the first time like you guys, because I didn't, like, listen to it before I, you know, posted it. So I want to hear what he's got to say, you know. And I bet you that what he's going to say is what a lot of people agree with, okay? So I want to take time out and play that for you, Sister Dale, before we get into the book. And, All right, put you on hold, and here we go. All right, I got you on hold, and here we go. We're going to hear what he got to say. Now, this clip is, I want to say it's about 13 minutes. So get comfortable. Be playing any second now. Okay. My signal is all right. It's taking a long time to start playing. Okay. I might need to stop this or something. What's going on? Okay, let me go to that other video instead. This one seems to be acting up. All right, so let me go to this other one. Okay, now this video is acting up. Man, is there some kind of message? Why this is acting up on me, y'all? I don't know. Something I said? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But it's definitely acting up on.
Welcome to Beneath the Bible, where we're helping you dig deeper and uncover the world beneath the sacred book. In the Bible, the people of God are typically the main characters of the story. In the Old Testament, this is usually the people of Israel, and in the New Testament, it's the followers of Jesus. But the people of God are one part of a much larger cast of characters. Some of these other people and people groups assist the people of God, but more often, they serve as antagonists. Now, understandably, the Bible tells us quite a bit more about the people of God than it does the other players in the story. But knowing who these other people are can help give us some depth and additional insight into the biblical text. In today's video, we're continuing our periodic series on the people groups of the Bible. Today, we're going to look at the Edomites. The Edomites are one of the neighboring and frequent antagonists of ancient Israel, residents of a land called Edom. Now, the name Edom comes from a Semitic word meaning red or ruddy. This name is probably related to the bleak, stony, red landscape of their land. The region of Edom is somewhat ill-defined, and its borders shifted as the polity of Edom developed. The Bible uses Edom to refer to the semi-arid and desert land south of the Dead Sea, sometimes called the Arabah, as well as the land southeast of the Dead Sea. It included southern Transjordan as well, at times, and some land approaching the Negev up to the southern border of Judah. The capital of Edom was the city that the Bible calls Bozrah. The Bible uses alternative names for Edom as well. Edom may also be called Seir and Teman. Seir seems to be simply synonymous with Edom in places like Genesis 32 and Judges 5. Teman also seems to be Edom in Amos 1:12. And notably, one of Job's friends is Eliphaz the Temanite. Now, it's been suggested that Seir and Teman are not names for the same place, but are districts or specific places within Edom. Now, while this is possible, it seems more likely to us that they all refer to roughly the same thing, though we should certainly consider that the Israelites didn't bother to differentiate between them, even if they were aware of the differences. Edom and the Edomites were understood to be descendants of Esau, the older twin of Jacob, son of Isaac, and the grandson of Abraham. Genesis 36:1 plainly says Esau, that is, Edom. Identifying the ancestry of Israel's neighbors is a recurring theme in Genesis. Now, usually these other people groups are given embarrassing or bad origin stories to explain why their descendants are such evil people, like how the Ammonites and the Moabites are the descendants of Lot's taboo relation with his daughters. With the Edomites, the relationship between their ancestors and the Israelites is particularly close. Moab and Ammon were the grandsons of Lot, Abraham's nephews, so they were understood as related to the Israelites, but somewhat distantly. Now, by contrast, the children of Israel, or Jacob, and the descendants of Esau were understood to be much closer kin. Amos 1 refers to Edom as the brother of Israel, and Deuteronomy 23 indicates that Edomites apparently did not have the same restrictions on worshiping at the temple in Jerusalem as the Moabites and the Ammonites did. But as those of you with siblings know, close relations don't always translate to amicable relations. The kingdoms of Israel and Judah frequently fought with Edom. Saul and David fought against the Edomites in the Arabah. One victory is mentioned in the Valley of Salt, possibly somewhere south of Beersheba. The Bible says that the victory gave David control of the Arabah south to the Gulf of Aqaba. During the reign of Solomon, an exiled king of Edom returned from Egypt and antagonized Solomon's trade routes. Edom again fell to Judahite control under Jehoshaphat before gaining independence under his son Joram, with Amaziah later claiming control over Edom once again. Now, ultimately, the Edomites fell under the influence of the Assyrians and later the Babylonians. The short book of Obadiah may refer to the Edomites helping either the Arabs or Babylonians attack Judah. Now, this was taken as a particularly egregious insult, since the Edomites and the Israelites were supposed to be brothers. Brothers may bicker and quarrel, but they don't destroy each other. The name Edom disappears after the Old Testament, and this region is referred to as Idumea in the New Testament. And we should note, however, that Idumea is not fully analogous with the Old Testament Edom. The two territories overlap, but they do not share all of the same boundaries.
What we know about the Edomites from outside the Bible can be roughly divided into two periods, the periods of the chiefs and the periods of the kings. Transition between these two periods is sometime in the late 9th century, around the time when the kingdom of Israel became divided. Now, these two events aren't related, but the division and weakening of Israel may have allowed for the strengthening of Edom during its period of the king. The period of the chiefs is in the late Bronze Age, with tribally organized nomads in the land south of the Dead Sea. Egyptian records mention a group they called Shasu, a name derived from a word meaning either plunderer or more likely wanderer. The term Shasu is thus understood as a social category rather than an ethnonym, or a name for a specific ethnicity or people group. Many ethnicities could be categorized as Shasu, but notably there are six groups of Shasu listed in an inscription dated to the reign of Amenhotep III. This inscription includes Shasu of Sir and Yahweh. Now, these names are probably locating where these particular tribes or clans of Shasu originated. Both Seir and Yahweh may both be referencing mountains, possibly sacred mountains. We can see this in an Amarna letter sent from a king in Jerusalem in the 14th century, which mentions Mount Seir. In Papyrus Anastasis VI, dating to the reign of Pharaoh Merneptah, an Egyptian official mentions the Shasu tribes of Edom, and passing into Egypt in search of greener pastures for their herds. And later, Ramses III is recorded in Papyrus Anastasi I as fighting against the Shasu of Seir and giving them as slaves to Egyptian temples. The Shasu of Seir are probably best understood as the progenitors of the people the Bible calls Edomites. What probably jumped out to you, though, was the name Shasu of Yahweh. You didn't think I'd just gloss over that one, did you? There's a lot of debate about what Shasu of Yahweh actually means. Some are the Shasu of Yahweh were those who worship Yahweh, and possibly on his holy mountain, what the Bible calls either Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. In places like Judges 5 and Deuteronomy 33 might imply worship of Yahweh beginning in Seir or the land of Edom. Now, other scholars reject this interpretation and don't see Yahweh of the Egyptian sources as referencing the Yahweh of the Bible at all. We don't have time to get into this or into all these arguments in this video, but we did want to note that identifying the Shasu of Yahweh may not be as straightforward as it seems. So back to the Edomites. The late Bronze Age and the early Iron Age were the period of the chiefs. We must rely on non-Edomite sources to inform us about this people group. And nomads are notoriously difficult to locate archaeologically, so finding evidence of the Shasu of Seir in this period is basically impossible. We don't know what they called themselves or how they organized themselves, and all we can really say is that in some names which appear in Egyptian inscriptions, they have what are called theophoric elements of a god named Kaus. And theophoric names include a name or part of a name of a god in them. For example, Obadiah is the Hebrew word for servant and Yah, which is short for Yahweh. For the Edomites, Kaus appears in some late Bronze Age names of these Shasu, and we know from later sources that this same god was popular among the Edomites in the Iron Age. In the early Iron Age, we start to find more evidence of the Edomites archaeologically. This marks the transition from the period of the chiefs to the period of the kings. And these Shasu of Seir are becoming less nomadic and establishing larger, more permanent settlements, so there's a lot more archaeological evidence from this period. We're learning more and more every year as more and more excavations occur, but we still have quite a few gaps in our understanding of the history of Edom. What we can say is that during this period, nearly all areas of what is now Israel and Jordan saw a wave of settlers, even the ecologically marginal areas southwest of the Dead Sea. This is the land of Seir, and between 1200 and 1000, it saw several small villages and new settlements appear. Because of the rough terrain and ecology, these remained small villages and hamlets, and nomadism was surely still an important part of the Edomite society. Tensions arose between these people and the early kingdom of Judah in the north in the 10th century, probably over control of important trade routes up the Jordan Rift Valley and into Arabia. These routes, known as the King's Highway, were very lucrative, and kingdoms like Israel and Judah sought to control them. And Judah was dominant over the Edomites at this point, but perhaps by the 9th century and certainly by the late 8th, Edom developed into its own kingdom. And this development may have occurred because of what archaeologists call a peer polity interaction, where competition between two groups can lead to one group emulating or copying from another. In the later Iron Age, around the 7th century, Edom began to expand its influence and control, particularly north and west into the area of the Negev, even around the Judahite city of Beersheba. Their prosperity was accomplished in part through the extraction of copper from the Wadi Fainan. It's estimated that between the 11th and 8th centuries, these mines were so active that they produced over 100,000 tons of slag, and slag is a byproduct of the smelting process. Now, additionally, with the domestication of camels, the desert trade routes through Edom into Arabia were quite lucrative, in trading aromatics like frankincense and other incenses. And Edom remained relatively rural even during this period of prosperity. Only one city, Bucera, is really considered an urban center. And even then, almost half the site is temples and palaces rather than residential dwellings like a city like we might imagine.
As Edom was brought into the wider Near Eastern imperial world, it became and remained a loyal vassal of the imperial powers like Assyria. Now, that loyalty kept them interconnected with the imperial economy, which further enhanced their prosperity. Rebellion was a risky venture in the ancient world. Independence could bring greater prosperity, but a failed rebellion meant increased suffering, a lesson that Judah learned several times.
It's unclear exactly how the Edomites fared during the transition from Assyrian to Babylonian rule. It's possible that early in the transition, the Edomites were able to expand their influence into southern Judah even further, into a region which would later be called Idumea. Notably, King Herod the Great was from Idumea. The Edomite kingdom came to an end in the mid-6th century, probably during the reign of the Babylonian king Nabonidus. We see its demise described in Obadiah. And this is also pretty clear archaeologically, where sites like their capital Bucera, sites like Tawilan, Umm al-Biyara, and Tel al-Khalifa were burned. A final piece of Edomite history comes from the few pieces we have to trace their language development. We don't have any Edomite royal inscriptions like we do from several of their neighbors, but we do have some other inscriptions in Edomite. From these, we can see the Edomites used the Phoenician script, and their language was quite similar to Hebrew. As they became more interconnected with the Assyrian world, they adopted more Aramaic linguistic customs. We have several ostraca, or pieces of pottery with ink writing on them, which have Edomite scripts on them. But again, we have very little of their own writing to help us reconstruct the society. From non-Edomite sources, scholars have constructed a tentative king list, which goes from the late 9th century down to the mid-6th century. The history of the Edomite language parallels the history of the Edomites themselves, with Semitic origins developing with greater prosperity and influence from Assyria until they were absorbed into the powerful empires around them.
Like the Canaanites, the Edomites are an important and frequently mentioned people group in the Old Testament as one of Israel's closest neighbors and main rivals. The relationship between Israel and Edom is notable because their histories have many parallels. Emerging from nomadic life to more structured settlements, rising in strength, before being conquered by the more powerful empires vying for control of their lands. Now, in many ways, Israel and Edom were brothers, facing the same challenges while navigating their own sibling rivalry before succumbing to similar fates. The difference, of course, is that while Edom faded away, Israel experienced a resurrection, emerging from exile to again take up the challenge of surviving as the little brother in a world of giants. Thanks for joining us for this Beneath the Bible video. If you want to learn more about this topic, we've included some references and resources in the description below. If you enjoyed this video and you want to see more content like it, be sure to subscribe to our channel, give this video a like, and follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Beneath the Bible. If you learned something new today, take a minute to share this video with your friends. And until next time,
Shalom, Kohalal, Yahweh, Ba'ashem, Yahweh Shai. That means all praise to Yahweh Ba'ashem Yahweh Shai. Double honors unto the apostles of Great Millstone that rule well, and salutations unto you brothers out there pushing the truth of Yahweh Ba'ashem Yahweh Shai, brothers and sisters that do listen sincerely. This is a book called The Mysterious and Prophetic History of Esau Considered in Connection with the Numerous Prophecies Concerning Edom, 1837. The author is down here, printed for JG&F Rivington, London. All right, this is 1837, man. So Esau, there are certain Edomites inquiring about Edom because you Edomites, I'm talking about you scholars, like you biblical scholars and archaeologists and anthropologists and all these different fields of study, historians. You guys, obviously, you cannot skip over Esau, Edom. A lot of you do. A lot of you nowadays, because of the Israelites, mainly starting with the apostles of GMS on down. But this is 1837, because, you know, when you read in from Genesis, it tells you Esau and Jacob are intertwined, man. They're together until the end. And one of them is going out, pursuant to the book of Obadiah. 1 and I believe verse 10. When you read in Ezekiel about there's a perpetual of judgment, or there's a future judgment against Edom and Jeremiah, and Esau tries to very conveniently say, oh, they were all destroyed in the Roman-Jewish wars, when the Romans were Edomites, and which we're going to prove it through this book. Okay, so we're going to hit up a couple pages. This is page 76. And by the way, I got this book years ago, I believe on Amazon. You can still try to look for it. I haven't looked for it, but my suspicion is, of course, the prices went up. It might have not, but you, just check it out. Check it out on Amazon. Check it out on Barnes & Nobles, any other websites that you know out there. So this is page 76. It says, this brings us to examine Esau's blessing. He being another patriarch of the same country, by thy sword shalt thou live. In the first instance, Esau acquired the mountains of Seir by the sword. All right. And by the sword, by thy sword shalt thou live. That's an excerpt from Genesis, I believe, was it 27? And when Esau was receiving his blessing, his blessing is his sword, man. You know, his way of life is taking and robbing and stealing. That's his way of life. That's how he gets shit done. It's not by the pen. It's not by legality or legal terms and all this bullshit. It's at the end of the day, it's by the sword. Okay? He's a man that lives by his sword. Okay? he can use all the trickery and nice $100 words he wants, and if that doesn't work, again, the sword comes into play. It says, and his descendants as Idumeans were decidedly of a military character and served the Israelites as auxiliary troops. It says, so far, however, were they in their character of Idumeans from breaking Jacob's yoke from off their necks. Again, if you know the scriptures, you know what this is talking about, because in Genesis, again, I might be off, but chapter 27, I believe, matter of fact, I have the scripture right here. I got the Bible right here. Let me just, one second, look for it. But it tells you that Jacob will have the dominion first, and then Esau will break the dominion, right? Because during the time of King David, these Edomites we had them under our foot, man. You know? Yeah, this is Genesis 27. And I'll just go straight to the point. This is verse 38. Let's focus in, Slakia. It says, and Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And a precept to that is Hebrews 12 and 17, and that's a good precept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother Jacob. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob. Until this day they hate us, because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. And it precepts you to Obadiah 10. Because during the time of the Babylonians, the Edomites were helping the Babylonians catch the Israelites when they were trying to escape, right? Then, of course, the oppression under the Greeks, the Romans, right? So that was the point that I was trying to bring out. And again, that yoke, as you see right here, that yoke right there, it happened twice. It happened under the time of King David, where they had the dominion, they freed themselves. They tell, that's in the book of, I believe, Chronicles. If anyone asks me on the comment board, I'll answer. I'll look it up, but at the moment, I don't have it. And it happened again, of course, during when? The time of, during the Renaissance, after the Dark Ages. All right, these Edomites took back their dominion. It was all through prophecy, though. It was all through the Most High, the divine intervention, if you will. It says that in the time of David, King of David, that's a spirit anyway, right here, I believe. He put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom, put he garrisons, and all they of Edom became David's servants. That's a scripture that shows you they were. That's 2 Samuel 8 and 14. That scripture shows you that they were under our dominion, but later on they freed themselves. They escaped. This was certainly a fulfillment of the prophecy that Esau should serve his brother, but in the course of time, the posterity of Esau ceased to be the mark of observation, and their very name, as before mentioned from Bishop Newton, was forgotten in the second century. Even the site of their ancient capital, Petra, was not known for some 100 years, till that long deserted scene of rocks and sepulchres was discovered by Burckhardt in his travels through Syria a few years later. But although thus forgotten, page 76, by the world, we must not for one moment conceive that the posterity of such a subject as of prophetic delineation of Esau, described so remarkably in the 36th chapter of Genesis, can really become extinct in all his three branches before the last days. In his blessing also, he is at some period to have a dominion. This must be a dominion of notoriety, or it would not have been predicted. It is true that involvement in other tribes, migration, or change of denomination may have obscured the three departments of his race, but dominion having been promised to him, it must rise up somewhere in his lineage. The Jewish rabbis trace Edom to Rome. You see? And we're going to bring up more information from page 97. Okay, it says, perhaps we ought not to conclude this article without noticing the belief entertained by the Jews and Mohammedans, which is Muslims, that the original Romans were a colony of Edomites. Now, again, the original Romans, when you get down to it, dealing with the Etruscans, and there was another group, the Latins, because the original, all those people were Japhetic from one of the sons of Noah, Japhet. They were dark skinned. If you look up the Etruscans, you'll see that their features, they got the cornrows. You know, they're people of color, but they're not Hamites, they're not Israelites. Those were Japhites or Japhetic peoples that were pushed out of that area starting with the Greeks. All right, but the original those places, Italy, Greece, ruled by the Etruscans, it was a dominion of kings. And then when the Edomites came in there, that's when they developed that system of democracy, which is, again, just another trick. You still have a king behind the scenes, because democracy really, at the end of the day, when you look it up, it really means divide and conquer, or divide and rule, all right? Because demo, that's where you get the word demography, which is charting of populations or analyzing populations. So again, demo means peoples or populations, and graphy goes back to crassi, I believe, in the Greek, which means a power or rule or divide. Okay, so it's the same thing, but they just changed it up because they're Edomites. That's how you know that you look at the flow and it's a steady stream, and then all of a sudden it's a whole different thing. Democracy, that wasn't invented by the Japhets. That was created by the Edomites. So the Talmud calls Italy and Rome the cruel empire of Edom. The Mohammedans consider that both the Greeks and Latins are descended from Rum, the son of Esau. Okay, but again, the original Romans were Japhetic. That story about the she-wolf, if you know the history of Romulus and Remus, which is, that's where you get the word Rome from, is Romulus, which was Japhet. Those are Japhetic people. Those are dark-skinned people. But again, of course, we know that the Romans that took over them were Edomites. And this is what we're bringing out. Verse 98. There is in Brighton an account of an inscription upon a marble block dug up among the ruins of a fort in Messina, stating that Eliphaz, son of Esau, Jacob's brother, commanded that fort. So it's just showing you that his descendants, the Dukes of Edom, all these things that you read in how they quoted Genesis, was it 36? It tells you all the descendants, they didn't just die off. They have a great part in prophecy, man. A very great part. In 2 Ezra chapter 6 and 9, it tells you Esau is the end of the world. How the hell is he end of the world if they died off during the time of the Romans? That wasn't even the climax of, that was nothing. The fall of Rome, and those were great events, but that was nothing compared to what we're dealing with right now. Concerning prophecy, I should say. Page 99, the mystery of Esau's important history, having been already considered, need not to be introduced here, Salakia. But the learned Jewish rabbins, having perceived that there is a secret connection between Rome and Edom. Okay, I believe that was it. Yeah, all right, so that was it. Just a quick video. Again, this is information that clearly was, researched a long time ago. And Esau, his top scholars know. That's why they had the Biblical Destruction Group, the Bible Destruction Group, which was actually a program designed by the elites to have their scholars and their top clergymen, or whatever you want to call them, their associates, they would go up into the biblical realms, you know, or fields of study, you know, archaeology, anthropology, history, et cetera, linguistics, and they would actually infiltrate those areas, and they would tamper with the evidence, or they would just destroy it or bring it back to the elites or whatever they had. This is well-known information. That's why books like this, you're not going to come across a book like this at Chapters or Amazon, or it's like not Amazon, but your regular bookstore, man, Indigo. You're not going to come across these kind of books, man. All right, so with that, I want to say, Ka Allah, Allah, Yahweh, Ba'ashim, Yahweh, Shai, for letting me bring this out. Hope you brothers and sisters are edified. Shalom and double honors, of course, unto the apostles of Great Millstone, who I learned the truth from, and salutations unto you brothers out there and sisters. May Yahweh, Ba'ashim, Yahweh, Shai, increase your faith. Shalom.
Okay, okay. Well, a lot was said right there, all right? And I want to get your reaction. Let me open up your lines, Sister Thayer. We got Brother Ronald in the house. Open up your line.
Shalom, shalom, Brother
all
Ronald.
All right.
Shalom, shalom.
All right, all right. So what are y'all thinking? What y'all thinking?
Well... He just put some information, but I'm trying to sort it out, and I plan on researching that book.
Right,
I have to go back and listen to it again to get it. But
yeah, I wasn't even paying attention. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you got it. You got a lot of Israelites agree with what that brother was saying. That Japheth was dark skinned. And which I do believe that. I believe they was people of color. All right. But however, eventually, I don't know. I think the whole world was black. You know what I'm saying? At one point in time. You know what I'm saying? So how color even came in the mix in the get-go, that's a phenomenon. I'm not really just sure. I don't have all the answers, y'all. But I was pretty certain in my studying that area belonged to Japheth. And so, according to this brother, Japheth was ran out of his homeland. And here come the Romans and Greeks and... I'm getting tongue-tied. He didn't mention the Scottish people or the Vikings, you know, and people way up north in the mountains of snow and all of that, you know. and not just them, but you also got evidence that there was, like, cavemen. Cave dwellers, all right? People that lived in the mountains and caves, all right? And they was very much archaeology and digged up a lot of bones dealing with cavemen in Europe, up in that part of the world right there, and in Asia, in that Asian world as well. So, yeah, you got that. So, and far as my understanding about the cavemen that they have found, they wasn't all that dark. Okay, they was, very fairly fair-skinned people, the cavemen, you know. So, I mean, you know, we got that in some way or another by reading our Bible and searching these scriptures, kind of figure out what exactly took place, you know. But the clips I've shown you was the history of the Edomites, all right? Now, and all of that we kind of went over, I want y'all to just kind of set it on the back shelf in your mind as we're reading in the Second Maccabees, because I think it's all going to put the pieces together in the puzzle. Who exactly... are these Romans? Who exactly are these Greeks? You know, and the influence. We can't also forget that the Greek gods, you know, they got a pantheon of different gods. They got the same attributes as the Egyptian gods, okay? So we see that relationship there between the Greeks and the Egyptians. Alexander the Great, He made a home away from home in Egypt, right? So there's some type of connection with Egypt and, well, Caucasians, you know what I'm saying? And so we've got to also keep that in mind, all right? All right, so we also went over that statue of Daniel. All these empires are prophesied to reign and rule and all of that. And then when you get down to the feet of that statue, when Rome fell, it came to these 10 different kingdoms. And that's when Christ comes in the picture and knocks the whole statue down. And you connect that to Esau's the end of the world. So, I mean, of those souls, Esau's going to be running those souls. Okay? And so the claim we're saying is that Esau's been in power, or, you know, of his descendants or whatever, if you was to count Rome and Greek, for the past almost 2,500 years now, oh, what a 2,500, so about like 3,500 years now, right? 35 or 4,000 years, you know. Basically, if you was to count the Greek Empire, 350 years, plus the Roman Empire, and they lasted for 1,000 years, you know, that's 1,300, and we're in 2023 right now, of those 10 toes after Rome, right? So, I mean, you know, you was to kind of do the math on that. We're getting real close to 4,000 years the descendants of Esau has been reigning over the world. All right? And they are set to be reigning until Christ comes. So. All right. Okay. Now, that is a huge introduction on today's show. All right. So without further ado, I'm going to put you on hold, and I am ready to get this knocked out. All right.
Okay.
All right. All right. Okay, so here we go. Let me put you on hold, and I'm going to finally get to it. Okay, all right. I'm going to finally get to it, and it seems like I'm taking us around the block, but, man, it's all part of a bigger picture that I'm trying to paint here. And I'm glad y'all with me to share it with y'all, man. Okay, so we're reading in 2 Maccabees chapter 5, and let me go ahead and get to it, all right? Okay, here we go. All right. About the same time Antiochus prepared his second voyage into Egypt, and then it happened that through all the city for the space almost of 40 days, there were seen horsemen running in the air and clothed in gold, and armed with lances, like a band of soldiers, and troops of horsemen in array, encountering and running one against another, with shaking of shields, and multitude of pikes, and drawing of swords, and casting of darts, and glittering of golden ornaments, and harness of all sorts. Wherefore every man prayed that that apparition might turn to good. Now when there was gone forth a false rumor, as though Antiochus has been dead, Jason took at least 1,000 men and suddenly made an assault upon the city. And they that were upon the walls being put back, and the city at length taken. Here come another name. Menelaus fled into the castle. But Jason slew his own citizens without mercy, not considering that to get the day of them of his own nation would be a most unhappy day for him, but thinking they had been his enemies and not his countrymen, whom he conquered. Howbeit, for all this, he obtained not the principality, but at the last received shame for the reward of his treason, and fled again into the country of the Ammonites. Okay. In the end, therefore, he had an unhappy return. Being accused before Aretas, the king of the Arabians, fleeing from city to city, pursued of all men, hated as a forsaker of the laws, and being had in abomination as an open enemy of his own, of his country and countrymen, he was cast out into Egypt. Thus he that had driven many out of their country perished in a strange land, retiring to Lacedaemon, and thinking there to find secure by reason of his kindred. Okay. Okay, security. Thinking there to find security. Okay. By reason of his kindred. And he that had cast out many unburied had none to mourn for him, nor any solemn funerals at all, nor sepulcher with his fathers. Now when this that was done came to the king's car, he thought that Judea had revolted. Whereupon, removing out of Egypt in a furious mind, he took the city by force of arms and commanded his men of war not to spare such as they met and to slay such as went up upon the houses. Thus there was killing of young and old, making away of men, women, and children, slaying of virgins and infants. And there were destroyed within the space of 3 whole days 40,000, whereof 40,000 were slain in the conflict, and no fewer souls than slain. Yet was he not content with it, but presumed to go into the most holy temple of all the world, Menelaus, that traitor to the laws, and to his own country, being his guide, and taking the holy vessel with polluted hands and with profane hands, pulling down the things that were dedicated by other kings to the augmentation and glory and honor of the place, he gave them away. And so haughty Antiochus in mind that he considered not that the Lord was angry for a while for the sins of them that dwelt in the city, and therefore his eyes was not upon the place. For had they not been formerly wrapped in many sins, this man, as soon as he had come, had forthwith been scourged and put back from his presumptions. And Heliodorus was, as Heliodorus was, whom Seleucus, the king, sent to view the treasury. Nevertheless, God did not choose the people for the place's sake, but the place far for the people's sake. And therefore the place itself that was partaker with them at the adversity that happened to the nation did afterward communicate in the benefits sent from the Lord. And as it was forsaken in the wrath of the Almighty, so again, the great Lord being reconciled, it was set up with all glory. So when Antiochus had carried out of the temple 1,800 talents, parted in all haste unto Antiochia, weaning in his pride to make the land navigable and the sea passable by foot, such as the haughtiness of his mind. And he left governors to vex the nation at Jerusalem, Philip for his country at Tigran, and for manners more barbarous than he that set him there, and the Gerizim, Andronicus, and besides Menelaus, who worse than all the rest bear an heavy hand over the citizens, having a malicious mind against his countrymen, the Jews. So Menelaus was an Israelite, y'all. And look like he is he's the other team, right? He said also that detestable ringleader, Apollonius, with an army of 2,000 and 20,000, commanded him to slay all those that were in their best age, and to sell the women and younger sort, who coming to Jerusalem and pretending peace, did forbear till the holy day of the Sabbath. When taking the Jews, keeping holy day, he commanded his men to arm themselves. And so he slew all them that were gone to the celebrating of the Sabbath, and running through the city with weapons, slew great multitudes. But Judas Maccabeus, with 9 others, or thereabout, withdrew himself into the wilderness, and lived in the mountains after the manner of beasts, with his company, who fed on herbs continually, lest they should be partakers of the pollution. Okay, that was all of chapter 5. And we got some names being dropped, you know what I'm saying? But most important of all these names being dropped, there's one that's definitely sticking out. And his name was, hold on. It says that Paulus was the ringleader. Okay, but it was his countryman. Hold on. I've got to remember this. Menelaus. Okay, this person named Menelaus. Okay, so that was an Israelite right there. You know what I'm saying? He's right. And apparently he hated his own countrymen, right? Because, I mean, but think about that type of hate for a second, y'all. The Greek Empire lasted 350 years. He probably grew up somewhere else, probably outside of Jerusalem. I don't know. But to have that type of hate toward your own countrymen, I don't know, man. He definitely considered himself more Greek and barbarian than he did the Israelite, you know? I mean, that's what I can get from that. Let me open up y'all mic, see if y'all got something to say on chapter 5. All right, I'm opening on up. All right, y'all line is now open.
Brother, I agree with you. I guess you pronounced that as Menelaus or whatever.
Yeah.
He just turned against his own countrymen, and you're right. We don't know why, but he did. And he slaughtered many.
I know.
And that's how Judas Maccabees escaped. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I was just repeating what you were saying, yeah.
Judas Maccabee?
Yes.
The Maccabees? Yeah, okay. Well, I believe that's what I was just saying, that that's how they escaped, and they was able to come back and fight them another day as they got
right.
better and stronger. Yeah.
Right. All right. Brother Ron, I'm having trouble opening up your line, brother, for some reason. I hit the open up button, but... Blog Talk is acting up again today, I see. Okay, how about now, brother?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Okay, let me take a, all right. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put y'all back on hold, and I'm going to play a little song, and... Okay, something. Block Talk is tripping today. Your line is still open when I just closed.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm gonna play a song, y'all. It's already top of the hour, and I only read one chapter. So let me go ahead and put y'all on hold and play a song. Okay. His line is not. I got Sister Thel line closed, but his line don't want to close. Okay, so let me try it again. All right, I got it now. All right, so let's play. Let me play a song, y'all. All that we didn't listen to right now. Oh man, this is like we're in the Matrix, right? And we're trying to get ourselves out the Matrix. So let me play that song Matrix, man, by Lorvin. All right, here we go.
This could be you.
I thank God why that I made
it.
He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live as
sin.
I owe him my life. He is the potter, cause he molded a better me. I got new eyes. He changes things. Something you see on the movie. I thank God why that I made
it.
He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live as sin. I owe him my life. He is the potter, cause he molded a better me. I got new eyes, it changes things, something you see on the movie.
It's something my heart is telling me, it's something right in this church. I close my eyes and I feel, something sitting right with this worship. Deep in my heart I feel guilty, they really run this like a business. Running service back to back like clockwork, I feel like I'm singing for Disney. I ain't never even met the pastor, the choir members don't even know my name. I stand here looking like a pastor, nobody even got a face with a shame. Everybody acting like this is normal, sometimes don't even say the word good morning. I might be only one with the discernment, I can hear the preacher watering down the sermon. But I was searching for some answers, cause in my life I was going through some problems. Even if I had to take some dances, I was looking for somebody to solve them. Time and time again I was let down, dealing with Christians they would disappoint you. Don't put your trust in it. This is my real life testimony.
I thank God why that I made it. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live in sin. I owe him my life. He is the potter, cause he molded a better me. I got new eyes. He changes things. Something you see on the movie. I thank God why that I made it. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live in sin. I owe him my life. He is the potter, cause he molded a better. I got new eyes, it changes things, something you see on the movie.
The system was never designed for us, we never been completely set free. I studied the law like a syllabus, we still in the land of our enemy. Nothing new under the sun, we still complaining, we miss my trying. We can summon the power above, he is the right hand in the Shemaim. If I tell you he walked his earth, would you believe me? Would you believe? He was in fashion from dirt, he's a begotten perfect seed. Perfect example, the phenotype. Ain't arguing over no Edomite. The moment is now, we must get it right. Stop mimicking darkness and be the light. We settled for chump change when the world was created for your dominion. So many layers of lies, we gon' peel it back, back like an onion. There is no fear if you walk with Yahuwah. If you try to do sin, guaranteed to consume ya. But you got another chance if you repent and make a change.
I thank God for what that I made it. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live in sin. I
owe him my life.
He is the potter, cause he molded a better me. I got new eyes. He changes things, something you see on the movie. I thank God for what that I made it. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live in sin.
I owe him my life.
He is the potter, cause he molded a better me. I got new eyes, it changes things, something you see on the movie. I thank God why that I made it. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live in sin.
I owe him my life.
He is the potter, cause he molded a better. I
got new eyes,
it changes things, something you see on the movie. I thank God why that I made it. He got me out of the matrix. I got a new beginning. I no longer live in sin.
I owe him my life.
He is the potter, cause he molded a better. I
got new eyes,
it changes things, something you see on the movie screen.
Okay, all right, y'all. So without further ado, let me get back into it. We're going to start on chapter 6 of 2 Maccabees. All right. Not long after this, the king sent an old man of Athens to compel the Jews to depart from the laws of their fathers and not to live after the laws of God, and to pollute also the temple in Jerusalem, and to call it the temple of Jupiter Olympus and the Gazarium of Jupiter, the defender of strangers. as they desire that dwell in the place. The communion of this mischief was sore and grievous to the people, for the temple was filled with riot and reveling by the Gentiles, who dallied with harlots and had to do with women within the circuit of the holy places, and besides that, brought in things that were not lawful. The altar also was filled with profane things, which the law forbiddeth. Neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days or ancient fasts, or to profess himself at all to be a Jew. And in the day of the king's birth, every month that were brought by bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifices, and when the fast of Bacchus was kept, the Jews were compelled to go in procession to Bacchus, carrying ivy. Moreover, there went out a decree to the neighboring cities of the heathen by the suggestion of Ptolemy against the Jews, that they should observe the same fashions and be partakers of their sacrifice. And whoso would not conform themselves to the manner of the Gentiles should be put to death. Then might a man have seen the present misery. For there were two women brought who had circumcised their children, who, when they had openly led around about the city the babes handing at their breasts, they cast them down headlong from the wall, and others that had run together into caves nearby to keep the Sabbath day secretly, being discovered by Philip, were all burnt together because they made a conscience to help themselves for the honor of the most sacred day. Now I beseech those that read this book that they be not discouraged for these calamities, but they that judge those punishments not to be for destruction, but for a chastity of our nation. For it is a token of his great goodness when wicked doers are not suffered any long time, but for with punishment. For not as with other nations, whom the Lord patiently forbeareth to punish till they be come to the fullness of their sins, so dealeth he with us. Least that, being come to the height of sin, afterwards he should take vengeance of us. And therefore he never withdraweth his mercy from us. And though he punish with adversity, yet doeth he never forsake his people. But let this that we had spoken be for a warning unto us. And now will we come to the declaring of the matter in a few words. Eleazar, one of the principal scribes, an aged man and of a well-favored countenance, was constrained to open his mouth and to eat swine flesh. But he, choosing rather to die gloriously than to live strained with such an abomination, spit it forth and came of his own accord to the torment. As it behoved them to come that are resolute to stand out against such things as are not lawful for love of life to be tasted. But they that had the charge of that wicked feast, for the old acquaintance they had with the man, taking him aside, besought him to bring flesh of his own provision, such as was lawful for him to use, and make as if he did eat of the flesh taken from the sacrifice commanded by the king. What? Oh, okay. So he's tricking them then, making it seem like he is eating pork when he's not. But it says of his own provision. So what? It could be some goat meat or something. Okay, gotcha. That in so doing he might be delivered from death, and for the old friendship with them find favor. But he began to consider discreetly, and as became his age and the excellency of his ancient years and the honor of his gray head, whereon was come, and his most honest education from a child, or rather the holy law made and given by God. Therefore he answered accordingly, and willed them straightways to send him to the grave. Oh, he could have tricked them if he wanted to, but he decided to, like, no, I'm ready to die. For it becometh not our age, said he, in any wise to dissemble, whereby many young persons might think that Eleazar, being 80 years old, were now gone to a strange religion. And so they, through mind hypocrisy and desire to live a little time and a moment longer, should be deceived by me, and I get a stain to my own old age, and make it abominable. For though for the present time I should be delivered from the punishment of men, yet should I not escape the hand of the Almighty, neither alive nor dead. Wherefore now, manfully changing this life, I will shew myself such as one as my own age require, and leave a notable example to such as to be young to die willingly and courageously for the honorable and holy laws. And when he had said these words, immediately he went into the torment. They that led him changing the good, will they bear him a little before into hatred, because the aforesaid speeches proceeded, as they thought, from a desperate mind. Okay, so they thought, Okay, gotcha. All right. So, I mean, what he had said to them must have changed their, you know, as soon as he got done talking, they jumped on him real quick. All right. They giving him the business right now. But when he was ready to die with stripes, he groaned and said, "It is manifest unto the Lord that have the holy knowledge, that whereas I might have been delivered from death, I now endure sore pains in body by being beaten. But in soul am I well content to suffer these things, because I fear him." And thus this man died, leaving his death for an example of noble courage and a memorial of virtue, not only unto young men, but unto all his nation. Okay, so that Eleazar, he had a chance to trick them and not eat the pork, but act like he eat the pork and got away with it. But he chose, man, for all these people that, you know, finna get tortured like this, he wanted to be an example for everybody and not put a stain on his reputation. And he can't trick God, man. God's seeing all of this. So he decided to, yeah, man, let me go on and just, you know, I got these gray hairs on my head. Let me just go on and do it, you know, go through it, because I fear God more than I do this man, this king, you know. So that was the end of chapter 6 right there. All right. And if y'all don't mind, I want to go ahead and read chapter 7 as well, because it seems like it's getting real good right here. And then we'll meet up, after chapter 7. It came to pass also that 7 brethren with their mother were taken and compelled by the king against the law of taste swine's flesh. Okay. And were tormented with scourges and whips. So a woman and 7 sons, the king wanted them to eat swine's flesh. And he done already done hit on them and scourged them. And he's trying to get them to eat this food and this ritual that they got going on, apparently. All right? But one of them that spake first said thus, "What wouldest thou ask or learn of us? We are ready to die, ready rather than to transgress the laws of our fathers. Then the king, being enraged, commanded pans and cauldrons to be made hot, which forthwith being heated, he commanded to cut out the tongue of him that spake first, and to cut off the utmost parts of his body, the rest of his brethren and his mother looking on. Now when he was thus maimed in all his members, commanded him, being yet alive, to be brought to the fire, and to be fried in the pan. And as the vapor of the pan was for a good space dispersed, they exhorted one another with the mother to die manfully, saying thus, the Lord God looketh upon us, and in truth have comfort in us, as Moses in his song, which witnessed to their faces, declared, saying, and he shall be comforted in his servants. So when the first was dead after this number, they brought the second to make him a mocking stock. And when they had pulled off the skin of his head with the hair, they asked him, wilt thou eat before thou be punished throughout every member of thy body? But he answered in his own language and said, no. Wherefore he had also received the next torment in order, as the former did. And when he was at the last gasp, he said, thou like a fury takest us out of this present life, but the king of the world shall raise us up, who have died for his laws unto everlasting life. After him was the third made a mocking stock, and when he was required, he put out his tongue, and that right soon, holding forth his hands manfully, and said courageously, these I had from heaven, and for his laws I despised them, and from him I hope to receive them again, insomuch that the king and they that were with him marveled at the young man's courage, for that he nothing regarding the pain. Now when the man was dead also, they tormented and mangled the fourth in like manner. So when he was ready to die, he said thus, it is good, being put to death by men, to look for hope from God, to be raised up again by him. As for thee, thou shalt have no resurrection to life. Afterward, they brought the fifth also and mangled him. Then looked he unto the king and said, thou hast power over men. Thou art corruptible. Thou doest what thou wilt. Yet think not that our nation is forsaken of God. But abide a while, and behold his great power, how he will torment thee and thy seed. After him also they brought the sixth, who being ready to die said, be not deceived without cause, for we suffer these things for ourselves, having sinned against our God. Therefore marvelous things are done unto us. But think not thou that taketh in hand to strive against God, that thou shalt escape unpunished. But the mother was marvelous above all, and worthy of honorable memory. For when she saw her seven sons slain within the space of one day, she bare it with a good courage, because of the hope that she had in the Lord. Yea, she exhorted every one of them in her own language, filled with courageous spirits, and stirring up her womanish thoughts with a manly stomach, she said unto them, I cannot tell how ye came into my womb, for I never gave birth you breath nor life. Neither was it I that formed the members of every one of you, but doubtless the Creator of the world, who formed the generations of man, and found out the beginnings of all things, and will also of his own mercy give you breath and life again. And yea, now regard not your own selves for his law's sake. Now Antiochus, thinking himself despised, and suspecting it to be a reproachful speech, while as the youngest was yet alive, did not only exhort him by words, but also assured him with oaths that he would make him both a rich and happy man if he would turn from the laws of his fathers, and that also he would take him for his friend and trust him with affairs. But when the young man would in no case hearken unto him, the king called his mother and exhorted her that she would counsel the young man to save his life. And when he had exhorted her with many words, she promised him that she would counsel her son. But she, bowing herself toward him, laughing the cruel tyrant to scorn, spake in her country language of this manner, "O my son, have pity upon me that bare thee 9 months in my womb, and gave thee such 3 years, and nourished thee, and brought thee up unto age, and endured the troubles of education. I beseech thee, my son, look upon the heaven and the earth and all that is therein, and consider that God made them of things that were not, and so was mankind made likewise. Fear not this tormentor, but being worthy of thy brethren, take thy death, that I may receive thee again in mercy with my brethren." While she was yet speaking these words, the young man said, "Whom wait ye for? I will not obey the king's commandment, but I will obey the commandment of the law that was given unto our fathers by Moses. And thou that hast been the author of all mischief against the Hebrews shall not escape the hands of God. For we suffer because of our sins, and though the living Lord be angry with us a little while for our chastening and correction, yet shall he be at one again with the servants. But thou, O godless man, and of all other most wicked, be not lifted up without a cause, nor puffed up with certain hopes, lifting up thy hand against the servants of God. For thou hast not yet escaped the judgment of Almighty God, who seeth all things. For our brethren who now have suffered a short pain are dead under God's covenant of everlasting life. But thou, through the judgment of God, shalt receive just punishment for thy pride. But I, as my brethren, offer up my body and life for the laws of our fathers, beseeching God that he would speedily be merciful unto our nation, and that thou be torments and plagues mayest confess that he alone is God, and that in me and my brethren the wrath of the Almighty, which is justly brought upon our nation, may cease." Then the king, being enraged, handed him worse than all the rest, and took it grievously that he was mocked. So this man died undefiled and put his whole trust in the Lord. Last of all, after the sons of the mother died, let this be enough now to have spoken concerning the idolatrous feast and the extreme tortures. My goodness. That's the end of chapter 7. Oh, man, let's open up the mics. I'm opening them up, y'all.
That's terrible.
Yes, it is. Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes, yes. So, as you can see, 5, 6, and 7 is all terrible chapters, okay? They, wicked Israelite is teaming up with the Greeks, and he, you know, heard that the king was dead or something like that, and so immediately he went into some city and killed a bunch of his own people or something like that, and he starts selling his people north. And when the king heard, he thought that the Jews were rebelling against him, so he came through and killed all of some. Oh my goodness. I don't know what I was trying to get. I don't know, man. I don't know. But either which way, I don't know if this guy was working for the king But either which way, man, and besides having wicked Israelites there, killing people, you know, selling people into slavery, you know, and killing babies and infants, besides all of that, this king also wanted to force Israel to live like the Greeks and partake in their rituals and stuff like that, their ceremonies, and kill all who try to worship God and his laws. So, yeah, they in a bind. Israel's in a bind, and, like, literally the devil came to their house. And it's a story of a woman and her seven sons. And each one of them sons came up to the king, told the king that he is not going to eat that pork, that pork sandwich, that bologna, or whatever. I mean, just keep it real. Baby back ribs, you know what I'm saying? Some pork chops with gravy on it. He'd rather die, okay? He'd rather die than eat that. Okay.
Yep.
Look, that type of faith, you know what I'm saying, in our ancestors. That type of faith reminds you of, like, the Taliban in the Muslim world. Suicide bombers. You see how devoted, faithful, you know, to their belief that they are, you know? And they are more closer to them than us today. Even though we're saying that this is our ancestors, we got more in common with the wicked Israelites than them. You know what I'm saying? Because if we was to try to tell our people, let's go back to the old way of living, God's way of living, all right? Our people will reject it and literally become our enemies.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, that's just something to think about on that note. But, yeah, that whole family died. All because they didn't want to eat any pork?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So I just read 5, 6, and 7, y'all. And let me take a little breath. I need a break. So let's take a little break. And we got, what, 30-something minutes left? 30 minutes left? 28 minutes
yep.
left?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see here. Let me play a little song, and then we'll talk about what we've read so far, man. All right. Let me put you on hold. Oh, my goodness. What kind of songs did I have for listening to? I mean, we're reading some, you know, tragedy, man. That is just, I don't know. Let's play Pure. I guess Pure, that's a pretty good song. Yeah. Okay. Let's play Hezekiah. Pure. Oh, okay. It's not playing. Hold on. Oh, man. It look like they're on the glitch a little bit. Let's see. It's still not playing. Okay. All right. I have a technical glitch.
Yeah.
There we go. There we go.
I want to thank the Most High for taking the things of the world off of my shoulders.
Can put some hot dog on my head real quick?
Yeah. Thank you, Father. Look, you made my desires pure. Made my desires pure. Yeah. You made my desires pure. Yeah. You made my desires pure. I want wisdom, understanding. I don't want no Grammy. I wanna live a righteous life.
with a righteous family. I want a wife to love you more than she love me. Wanna show my people that they royalty. Wanna live by your commands, on your word we stand. I'd rather be touching scriptures than touching these banks. Them riches gon' profit nothing in a day of wrath. I was living in my mess, I had to take a bath. Creating me a clean heart, Abba made me pure. The things of the world, y'all, it's time to ignore. I want love, I want peace, I want everlasting life. Well done, my good and faithful servant, walking in that light. I'm on this narrow path, trying to save a soul. I want my people in Jerusalem, the days of old. I wanna get to the homeless, show them that he cares. I wanna get a homeless, hope we almost out of here. Get your example through your son, and it's the only way. Ain't no pagans over here, we keep it holy days. I want my people, stop the killing, we dropping the prophets. I want us come back to the laws, it ain't no other option. Don't want no hate up in my heart, not over no doctrine. I want the fruits of the spirit, y'all could keep the nonsense. I had to renew my mind, I had to free my conscience. I had to confess my sins, I had to be honest. I want the Ruach HaKodesh to come into me. I only trust the Father, not the enemy. The Father word, he came and cleansed the enemy. I only want the Spirit, so I'm killing me. The Father gave me righteous things that I desire. I wanna see the kingdom, not the lake of fire. I don't want no drugs, scriptures got me higher. If we come in a pure heart, we gon' be the highest.
My desires pure. You made my desires pure. You made my desires pure. You made my desires pure. Made my desires pure.
Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, all that you had for me. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, all that you had for me. You made my desires.
Shoulders.
You made my desires pure.
With the things of this world.
You made my desires pure.
I want to say thank you, Father.
You made my desires pure.
For getting that weight off our shoulders. Hallelujah.
Okay, okay, here we are. We're back, y'all. Back on this side of the break. Let's see. I'm gonna ask my panel what they want to do next, man. They got some scriptures. What you got? I'll open up y'all lines. What y'all got, panel? What y'all want to do? Y'all want to keep reading or y'all want to... Uh-oh, sit still.
Okay, well, you just opened me up.
All right, good deal. All right. So what y'all want to do? What y'all want to do?
Well, I just want to say you're right.
Okay.
I just want to say that you're right. They had a lot of faith and belief. And they apparently, you know, talked about, you know, living with the Most High, you know, eternity, having life. And so, and they all just, you know, you can just tell that mother had reared them according to the laws and statutes, because they were both all courage, and you can just imagine, you know, what they did for us, you know, because of what they done and because they gave up their lives and kept the faith to be something for us to look back on. And that's why this history is very important to have found out. Because, you know, we just know very few in the Bible where it just tells us in the King James Version. But, you know, never mention anything like this.
Right.
So, yeah. Right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But it also kind of shows the light how far we didn't fail down, right?
Oh, yeah.
Why it was so important for the Gentiles to take our last names away from us.
Yeah.
They wanted to have a disconnect in our heritage.
Yeah.
And so all this time, all these years, we are just now finding out that this is us. And so my comment about them dying before they eat pork, I made it sound like pork is nothing. We grew up eating our own pork, you know. Why get burned to death and your limbs, cut off, your body parts being cut off from you? You know what I'm saying? Why do all that, man? Just eat the pork chop. But it goes to show how far we done fell down, man. Because when God's laws and his commandments, oh, man, they was embedded in our ancestors' minds. And so when you come across Israelites that broke them, they was, like, literally possessed then, when you look at it, with the devil or something. So to even want to break God, you see that type of devotion? I hope people have that type of devotion. All of a sudden, they are, breaking all types of laws, man, doing all types of things. But it wasn't at first. It usually takes something to get them there. Like it takes a conquering of nations, threatened to their lives, then folks will fold under pressure. But now I take that back, man, because we was in our own land doing all types of wicked stuff. I just don't get it, Justelle. I throw my hands up on it. I just don't understand. With all that they have seen, with all that they have witnessed, and they still fell from God. Oh, well. Brother Ronald, you got anything you want to add to that?
I think we got to... a lot easier today. It was hard on them. They got treated a lot worse. I think than we did. Their faith was stronger than ours. So we got it easy today. I'm just saying.
Oh yeah.
We don't go through the stuff like they went through.
Yeah. Hey, can you kind of see why they take this out of our Bible? You know, this is what's in our Bible, y'all. They took it out. Okay. people under oppression that's, fighting back and don't want to do with rather choose death than do what their oppressor is trying to get them to do. They took this on out. Because they gave us a slave Bible. A slave Bible with certain verses in it, They took all of this out, man. They didn't even want their own kind listening to it. Right. I'm just saying, reading something like this does something to your spirit, man. When you think about all the type of pain and agony that our ancestors went through just for us to be here today. It was something else. Horrible time, and we're still not over it. That's how horrible it was. But I also want to take y'all back to chapter 5. There was chapter 4, there was a discus competition. right? And there was a Simon of the tribe of Benjamin. He fell out with the, he was appointed governor over the temple. He fell out with Ornias, the high priest, all right? And I'm thinking it's over money, right? And he had went to the king and told the king that it's, you know, $1 billion inside the vault of the temple, right? And so, but
yeah.
Why did he do that? Why did he do that, man? And to be governor over the temple, that means he must have been a so-so type of character, but he was still kind of in the belief system to a degree that just falling out, what he did was the last straw. You know what I'm saying? Like the Jews that was there was like, man, you are too, you're acting too Greek. You're thinking, your mind is acting too Greek, or you want to be Greek so bad. You know what I'm saying? That it's just showing. You're not even thinking rationally or something. You know what I'm saying? And but this tournament popped up. And I bet you this tournament has something to do with this falling out. I bet he wanted to train up a bunch of men to show their athleticism in this tournament or whatever. The discus? Throwing the disc or something? So, I mean, that sounds like the Olympic Games right there, don't it? You know, I guess they were going to host this Olympic Games, and this brother probably really wanted to go or whatever. Needed to be funded, you know what I'm saying? He needed to be funded. He wanted to train up some more guys. So, you know, he probably knows some brothers who got this talent, this athletic talent. But the world don't never know because we ain't a part of the world. You know. He probably knows some brothers that can throw that disc pretty good. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
When you see the love of sports in our people, when it comes football, basketball, you see how we are. It's like we worship that in a lot of ways. You know. You know what I'm saying? We'll put sports over worshiping God, man. And we see this brother just went all out, man. And then apparently he ended up leading a revolt against the temple, against Jerusalem. And Ornias ended up dying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I said all of that to say that, man, this is us. For real.
We're still killing each other. Yep. We're still hurting
each other. That's right.
Killing each other.
Yeah, and that love for sports, though. That love for sports and, or you know, to be able to even play in the sports. This brother went to killing.
Yeah.
So, that happened. Anyway, y'all, what we got? We got 12 more minutes. You know what? I think I want to play another clip. It's off the subject, but we're talking about some heavy stuff right now, and we're hitting and this what we read today hit on all different type of levels, man. Let's go with that House of Dragons again. You know, even though it's talking about the Jews now residing in Israel and whatnot, there's some way I think they're linking up. Well, I can't say that's too much of a stretch, and I don't want to stretch y'all, but I think I can find something worthy inside the sermon here. Let's play it right quick, y'all. Okay. For some reason, it does not want to act right. I put y'all on hold right quick, and I'm trying to play this little clip right quick, but apparently it just do not. Oh, my goodness. Come on now. Come on now. Yeah, so anyway, something always goes wrong some way, somehow. It never fails. Okay. So that will play, but this won't play. Bear with me, y'all. One second. I'm still trying to figure out why certain things will play, but everything else won't play. That's a trip, man. There's always leave room for conspiracies, man. Like, there's literally somebody messing with my show, man, behind the scenes. I be wanting to blame it, man. The devil. Yeah, the devil, man. Definitely trying to get me to not play some things. You know what
I'm
saying?
So I told myself I'm going to start doing these recap messages of some of my videos that I do, especially about the end times and the prophecies, to kind of elaborate more on what I was trying to convey or what God was trying to convey through me in the message. So this one is about the House of Dragons. And typically when I sit down, I kind of get a little bit less animated and I can kind of just, you know, chill a little bit and tell y'all maybe in a more quick and fast, deliberate, an easier way for some people to be able to receive, right? Not so much of a strong bite, right? So Revelations 12 and 9, the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So we know that Satan is the dragon. He's the devil. He's the old serpent. So the same old serpent from the Garden of Eden is this dragon, is Satan, the House of Dragons. And I was I talk about in the video how DJ Khaled has a new song called God Did, and Jay-Z is on it. And Jay-Z says that the Lord is a draconian or a dragon. So right there in these last days and the end times, these guys are just kind of saying it right there in our face that the dragon. And right there in Revelations, we hear about this dragon all the time, whether it be in 13 or we hear about it at the end when Christ destroys this dragon and bounds him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. But we hear about this dragon, and it speaks about how the dragon, Satan, the serpent, that old serpent from Adam and Eve's day, says that it deceives the whole world. And in the message, I talk about how the only way you could deceive the whole world is if you control the media, the news media, the movie production companies, which is media, the television shows, media, the music industry, media. And we know, without me even saying, we know the people who control these industries. And so either those people are Satan or they're being controlled by Satan. Do you see what I'm saying? But then I went ahead and read to you Jeremiah 10 and 22, which basically says that these people are Satan or the house of Satan or the house of the dragon. Jeremiah 10 and 22, behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons and the house of dragons. So it is clearly saying in Jeremiah 10 and 22, prophesying that Judah and Jerusalem, that Israel would be desolate. So the real Jews, the real Israelites won't be there. Once they're gone, it will become a house or a den of dragons. Wait a minute. You see what I'm saying? And so then you got Satan. Oh, this is good. This is good. Who is the dragon, right? Satan is the dragon. And now you're hearing that Jerusalem is the house of the dragon or the house of Satan. It's a den of dragons, right? This is based on the scriptures. I'm not interpreting this for you. I'm just reading scripture for scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, right? Now, let's get over here to Revelations 3 and 9 and listen to this. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship at their feet. So wait a minute. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. So we know Satan is the dragon. So behold, I will make them of the synagogue of the dragon, which say they are Jews. So whoever these people are saying, they are saying they are Jews, and they happen to live in Israel. Do you see this? So who would they be? So if I was saying I was a Jew If I was saying I was black, but I'm really not black, I'm probably blackish. I'm kind of black, but I'm really not black. Or I'm saying I'm black, but I'm really not black because they say they do lie. I hope you hear what I'm saying. So I had to come up with an identity to make myself close to black, but I'm not really black. So I'm blackish or I'm yellowish. I'm Jewish. I can speak freely. This is my exclusive channel. I'm Jewish. I didn't interpret that for you. I didn't interpret that for you. It said that in Jeremiah 10 and 22 that Israel is a den of dragons. And then it jumps down to Revelations 3 and 9, and also it's in Revelations 2 and 9. It says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan or the synagogue of the dragon. So there's a religion of the dragon which say they are Jews. Right? But check this out. Where do they live at? Well, they live in the house of the dragon too. So they live in Israel. You see what I'm saying? Because Jeremiah 22, 10 and 22 says that they live in Israel. And they saying they Jews. So it don't take a rocket scientist really to really go through this. And like I said, even in the message, that my newborn son could literally break this down and understand this with clarity. So then after that, House of Dragons, I went on to discuss Revelation 13, which I probably should have possibly left this out of there. But the chapter of Revelation 13 is titled War on the Sea and on Land. And I was trying to show you how these different allegorical and metaphorical words that are about to follow in Revelation 13 also refer to a war on the sea and land, and how these nations that are described as beasts all come together as a conglomerate in order to protect themselves from war on the sea and on land. Correct, correct. So Revelations 13 and 1 starts and says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, which having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns. Correct. Okay. Going to 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and a great authority. Wow, that is so good. That is so good. So we know that by mentioning the leopard, the bear, and the lion, that is referring to the same beast that were in Daniel 7. And I guess as a representation to explain to us how Satan has had dominion over almost every world empire or these seven world empires, because it says seven heads, which is Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And then now the new Roman Empire, the 10 horns. These 10 horns, I went on, and that's why I said maybe I could have possibly left this out, because it's kind of hard to, I guess, understand. But these 10 horns, I guess, represent the European Union, or at least the Western European Union, which they once had a treaty that was designed for these 10 horns or these 10 nations to come together only in wartime. And it was called the Western European Union. The 10 nations was Belgium, France, Germany, Greece, Italy, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Portugal, Spain, and the United Kingdoms. And ironically about these 10 nations or these 10 kingdoms, which I didn't mention, these 10 nations are the 10 nations that came to war against us, or to grab us out of Africa, out of the western coast of Africa, and help scatter us into all nations. And Belgium was there. Italy was there. Portugal was there. Spain was there. You see what I'm saying? Germany was definitely there. The United Kingdom was definitely there. Went into the west coast of Africa, the gold coast, to steal God's gold, where we had a country called the country of Judah, or Judah, God's chosen people, and they went there and grabbed us and scattered us to the four corners of the earth into all nations. I'm saying them along with America. I'm just saying, ironically, coincidentally, these nations happened to all have a peace treaty together in order to come together only out of war. So I went on talking about the house of the dragon. And in Revelations 13 and 3, and I saw one of the heads as it were, wounded to death. That's talking about the Roman Empire, how it was wounded to death, how the Roman Empire was destroyed. And his deadly wound was healed. So the Roman Empire was healed by the 10 nations. It was healed because these 10 nations came from the Roman Empire. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is likened unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Everybody worshiped the beast because the beast is the one who healed the Roman Empire. It was dead. It was gone. And then the beast healed the Roman Empire, these 10 nations, allowing them to reign and rule. Who can make war with them? Because remember, in Europe, that's where you had all those world wars at. And they were fighting each other. But then they came together to create one union. Now who can make war with them? They're too strong for anybody to make war with them when they're together. You see this? This is what this scripture is talking about. Oh, God, help me preach this thing. Revelation 13:11, and I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. What nation is that? What nation is that? I talked about it. That is the United States of America. He had two horns like a lamb, the Republican and the Democrat Party. Two wings, right wing and a left wing, both on the same eagle. The United States of America, and he spake as a dragon. The United States of America got power. He spake as a dragon. You see that, right? Revelations 13:12. And he exercised all power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So the second beast, America, caused the whole world to worship the first beast, Rome. And I explained in the video how America, oh my God, and there's another scripture where it says that it caused the whole world to make images of the first beast, and I'm going to read that in a minute, but to paraphrase how America today, we have the theaters, we have the football stadiums, everything, the Colosseums, everything that is around the whole world is images of the beast that was wounded, which is Rome. So everybody is still worshiping Rome, what is this, 2,000 years later, and there is no quote-unquote Roman Empire. There's only the remnants of the Roman Empire or the new Roman Empire, which is the European Union. But we're still worshiping Rome, even though we don't literally call it Rome. Do you see that? The Roman calendar. So many, we're living under the Roman calendar to today. Why don't we just change the date and the time? So you know, today going to be the first or the second, because we're still worshiping Rome, worshiping the image of the first beast or of the beast that was wounded but was healed. This is good. So also, I talked about how the European Union or the Western European Union, they have 10 nations, right? And they come together. When those 10 nations came together with America and Canada, which America pretty much is own Canada, they created NATO. And remember, the chapter is called War on the Land and the Sea. NATO was also another organization created. NATO is a system of collective security. Its independent members, states, agree to defend each other against attacks by third parties. So another treaty, another union that was just created just for war purposes only. And a chapter is titled War on the Sea and on the Land. The dragon giving them the power. House of the Dragon. House of the Dragon. Then I read Revelation 13:12. And it talks about, and he causes all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them that which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he do great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And I talked about how that is the nuclear power, nuclear weapons. And America is the only country to ever drop a nuclear weapon on another nation, Japan. He caused fire to come out of heaven, out of the heavens, and drop in the sight of men. The only nation to ever do that. This is describing America to the T. Not just that, America is the only nation on the planet that constantly just bombs the hell out of other nations. Russia never just bombed the hell out of people, right? Like crap, I'm talking about just bombing the smithereens. America had bombed Iraq in the smithereens, Afghanistan in the smithereens, Libya in the smithereens, Kenya. They didn't bomb everybody in the smithereens. Somalia, they didn't burn everybody in the bombed everybody in the smithereens. We can't even name a nation name. Vietnam, they didn't bomb everybody. North Korea, the list goes on and on. America just rained fire from the heavens. It's a fact. This is describing the United States of America. Oh, God, help me preach this thing. And so then I went into the mark of the beast verse, which is Revelation 13:16, and it says that he causes all people, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their forehead. and that no man may buy or sell, save that he have the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. And I went into that verse to show that America, this is still talking about that same beast, the second beast that came up out of the earth, which is America. The first beast is the European Union. The second beast is America. Together they are NATO, so they are one. Oh, God, who can make war with the beast? You see this? You see this? But, oh, God, what am I saying? So I talked about how the mark of the beast came from America, because it also says that America exercised the same authority as the first beast. America has more power than the first beast. America is the only nation on the planet that could have the power to make all people, rich and poor, free and slave, receive a mark. So literally the mark of the beast is the mark of America. That's more clarity for you right there in these last days and in these end times. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. So I'm trying to give this without – you know, any flair, any, animation. I don't want, I just want you guys to get the understanding of the word. And like I said, really just a recap. And I said I was going to do this in all my messages, and I'll probably just go back through them all and do a short, just quick to the point recap on what I was trying to convey. And this one is about the house of dragons. And pretty much, I went into more scriptures, but pretty much this last scripture, I really just was giving to give us some good news, because I didn't want people to think that, okay, well, the dragon, you know, he gave power to the nations, so we screwed. You know, like, you know, everything is over with, we done. We going to die, they going to kill us, we might as well just, you know, give up now. And I wanted you guys to see that obviously that, you know, we prevail, that Christ prevailed in the end. And Revelation 21 talks about, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, right? And we know that Satan eventually gets out 1,000 years, but eventually Christ put him right back in there, or put him out actually this time in the fire with the beast, America, and the false prophet, yet to be revealed or already revealed. Some people believe the Roman Pope is the false prophet. So it's pretty short and simple and sweet, the house of dragons. I think we kind of understand what that is. It's funny how our pastors, our preachers, and even the media have portrayed to us this country, Israel, as always positive, nothing negative. Even the people, they're always positive, nothing negative. However, the Bible is literally clearly contradicting that and saying that in the last days, there would be something different going on there. I've showed you already who Mystery Babylon was. Mystery Babylon, the great city, and how that great city, Mystery Babylon, is really Jerusalem. I've showed y'all that. And so the House of Dragons now appear to be pointing at this same nation, this same people over there, saying that they are, you know, and it appears that they do lie. Billy Graham made this. Read this scripture, and many other pastors in the past have read this scripture. And, you know, obviously you get canceled, you get cut off, you know, you get shadow banned, you get et cetera, for speaking the truth. So hopefully this was a quick recap. I don't know how long I spoke for. Hopefully I kind of conveyed exactly what I was going for in this recap, which is just like a quick to the point message. But most importantly, I wanted you to know the truth, because the truth shall set you free. I really do believe in these last days that when you learn the truth, that it should set you free from the worry, from doubt, from anxiety, because when you read these clear scriptures and you start learning the truth, it should let you know, it should give you a surety that God is in control. That ain't just a bunch of inflation happening just because Joe Biden's policies are bad. Inflation is happening because God said it was going to happen. A famine and a plague and war is coming, not because Joe Biden is bad at diplomacy with Russia. You know, a famine is coming, not because of the food processing centers that they've been destroying. But it's coming because God prophesied that it would come. So I'm hoping that by you knowing the truth, it should set you free, because it should let you know that God, Elohim, Yahweh, Yahuwah, is in charge of all things. It's been written since the foundation of the world. Everything that's happening in your very eyes, right before your very eyes right now, was written 2,000 and 5,000 and 6,000 years ago. You see? So that should give you more clarity, like, oh, yeah, God is in control and not these scientists. God is in control and not these politicians. No matter who I vote for coming up in the election, God is in control. And whatever he said is going to happen is going to happen. Oh, that should give you clarity. It should give you comfort. It should give you comfort. It really should. It should make you feel secure in your faith and in your understanding. I hope y'all got this message, and I hope you can receive it in the name of Christ. All right, talk to y'all soon. Shalom, shalom. Hey, guys, thank you for tuning in.
All right, all right. We have went past our time a little bit, but that's all right. I'm going to open up your mic and let y'all say y'all little, you know, point of view on what we came across, and we're going to call it wraps after that. All right. Brother Ronald's, I don't know. It's just acting up on me today. Brother Ronald, you there? I'll open up his mic, but it's like his mic is don't want to open up or something. Sister Dale, you got anything right quick while I'm working on this?
Have you opened up on my mic?
Yeah, I can hear you, Sister Dale.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, that was powerful. I mean, I really did get something out of that. Whereas, you know, I need to know how to go back and listen to him again and review and to listen to whatever he has to say, because it just gives you more insight. It gives you more insight and another interpretation, but also it makes you just learn a lot more than what you know. I mean, there's so many theories and ideas, but you have to admit, someone have done a lot of research, and this gentleman apparently have. But, you know, I do know there's so many different views and about everything, and I'm just going to pray on this and, you know, and just what he said, you know, and try to receive this and dissemble this and everything else. So I appreciate you letting us listen to this and, you know, more from this guy. And can you give me his information whenever you get a chance to?
Yeah, I sure will.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am, I sure will. Mm-hmm. All right, Brother Ronald?
Yeah, I heard that guy before.
Okay.
I don't believe that America is, when you say America is what? America is Babylon?
The second dragon.
I believe.
Yeah.
When you say America is the second dragon?
Yeah. Isn't that correct, brother?
Oh, okay.
Michael?
Yeah, he said the with the two horns.
Yeah,
the lamb with the two horns.
Yeah, that was new to me. I had not heard that before, but I did.
He said Israel was mystery Babylon.
Yeah.
But he didn't go into depth how he come up with that. So apparently
no,
it's on another.
Yeah. Exactly.
So maybe I need to keep digging and maybe I hear that sermon about that, but. He seems to have the understanding that Israel is mystery Babylon, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Oh, Jerusalem, yeah.
So what that means,
I can't see. I can't see how that'd be because Babylon is a system ran by the devil.
Well.
So I can't see how Israel is Babylon.
When you say Israel, are you talking about Jerusalem? Because I think he said Jerusalem.
We're talking about the country Israel.
Okay.
Okay. I don't agree with that.
And what he's saying is that the people there are not the people, not the real people. And that's why it's Babylon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know that. But Babylon is, the Bible said that the devil is the god of this world. Not just in Israel, but the whole world.
Yeah. I know you're right. I agree with you on that point, too.
Yeah, there's no reason.
Yeah,
he's the god of the whole world.
The overall message that we as Israel, as we're waking up, we're all over the place, man. We had one brother earlier reading about the Edomites and things like that, you know. And we, I mean, there's several different. As we waking up, man, a lot of us are just in the dark, man, reaching out, trying to figure this thing out. It is very complex what's going on, right? And I think that's what we're witnessing here. You know what I'm saying? This brother right here, you know, that's what he's into. That's what he is studying has led him to. We're going to disagree with each other, but I'm thinking that this show that we're on, my show here, Waking Up Israel Radio Show, it embodies a little different perspective from a little bit of everybody, man. And if I can, I want to ask that brother to come on my show, man, and kind of explain to us how he come up with some of it. Sit down and talk to him, you know, because right now, because we disagree with each other, that's what makes us not unified. You know what I'm saying? And that's what one thing that I think that this show pushes is for us to be able to walk together, sit down and talk to each other, man. Because some of these Israelite camps, man, I very much disagree with them on some things, you know. I just want to be able to sit these brothers down, man, and have them explain their position and tell them where I'm at. And somewhere along the line, man, we can kind of figure this thing out, man, you know, in peace. Or if we can't figure it out, just, you know, have that fellowship, you know, nevertheless. Go ahead.
I want to say something that we're not going to know everything until Christ comes back. Because he know everything. So man don't know everything. So we're not going to agree on everything that we hear, you know. So we're not going to know the whole truth until Christ returns. You know, he's going to bring everything that's in the dark. He's going to bring it to the light.
Yeah. Because we got some brothers out there, sisters and brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know.
Can't believe everything.
That's right.
To say.
Yeah. You know, they're shiesty, and we know it. And you're right. I agree with you that on that part. We won't really know until he comes, returns. But, you know, we want to try to get along, and we want to find out where... You know, you just want to keep seeking. I think that's the word. Is we just have to keep seeking and searching and praying about it.
Because Jesus said there's going to be many false prophets. He said there's going to be many prophets in Matthew 24 in these last days. So, there's going to be a lot of false messages out there, you know. Everything is not
true.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never
thought that's the thing. But that's the very problem. Nobody knows all the truth. You know,
right.
So
no
how can
will.
We point
no
out
who's will.
The false? You know,
you're not going to find the answer.
Right.
I believe that the answer is in your belief. You trust in the Most High.
Well, yeah, I can dig it.
You just have to trust him and how he leads you and guides you, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, you have to just definitely walk by faith.
Right on. That brings in the picture our brothers and sisters that's in Christianity. You know, they're walking in a blind faith. We'll start pointing out these facts to them. And they hear it, but then they don't want to, you know, they don't want to leave their position, you know. And it's like a blind faith. And I guess that's, you can kind of see why that might be the way to go, a blind faith, you know. I mean, I'm just saying.
No,
why
no.
It's a, you know.
No,
I'm just
no it's
saying,
not
I'm
the
just
way
saying.
To go, but. But
I mean, not saying it's the way to go.
It's a choice.
It's attractive. It's attractive. Because what I'm saying is that you know, who could know all this stuff, right? So why don't you just give it to God and let him take the wheel and kind of walk in darkness, you know? That's all
yes.
I'm saying, you know.
Yeah, I know, right? But, you know, Satan was beautiful. I understand Satan was beautiful.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was, I guess, and he could sing and do all kinds of things. So, you know, that's what's
right.
happening on with, you know, blinders on. We can't see from all of the entertainment, the hoopla and all that kind of stuff, and the glitter and the money and the gold rings and chains and everything else, the mansions. You know, that's, he just, you know, put it in
right,
front of
right.
them, and they're not going to change.
Well, all right. Well, all right. Well, we are 21 minutes past the hour, y'all. And so, yeah, this is a turned out to be a pretty good show right here. Let's bring it a conclusion, y'all. You know, bring it to an end, y'all. And, man, I got – there's a lot of things that I'm going to sit back and meditate on from this show. And I look forward to starting back up. We read 5, 6, and 7 of the Second Maccabees. So I'm going to aim for 8, 9, and 10 next show. All right. Next show will be Sunday at 5 p.m. Central. And I hope y'all can tune in and be able to make it. I'm going to try to add in another song or whatever, you know, a new song, man. And, yeah, we'll have a blast, all right? So let me go on and wrap up the show. Thanks, peace and blessings to y'all that are able to join the show. And, all right, y'all, we're going to go on and get on out of here then.
Shalom, shalom.
All right, shalom, shalom. All right, till next time. All right, I put them on hold, and let me play a little song, man. We got, we're 22 minutes past. Okay, let's see. Let's end this show with Blue Sky. Yeah, let's let Blue Sky lead us on out.
On my whole life, living life like it's alright. Everybody talking past life, in and out of that jailhouse. Street running, I done done that. I done chose something different. I just want something different. Anybody feel me? Yeah, yeah. One thing that I do know, conscience never blind. Oh, born raised out Ohio, beat it down like a high note. Like what it mean when it say high note? Your guess is better than mine. Oh, we tribal, bless no food. Have something that they don't know. I'm just trying to bring the light in. Give them something that is priceless. Show them what it's being righteous. A lot of people ain't gonna like this. Some of y'all gonna despise it. If you have problems, I have solutions. If you have questions, I'm here to help you. It's getting real, y'all. It's getting real out here. It's getting real, y'all. It's getting real. Can I be honest in just a minute? Why y'all acting like you don't need us? Why y'all claiming all these fake religions? When God's indignation gets all nations, Israel always kept the precepts. He just never kept the precepts. Second Ezra 3 and 33. Second Ezra 3 and 36. Light it up like a pyro. Why they looking so surprised though? Like they ain't even in the Bible. You don't even read your Bible, Isaiah 34 and verse 2. But pastor never even showed you. This word I have, I'm going crazy. Like listen to what I'm saying. That's not what it's really meaning. Man, I wish I had a time for every time I heard a Christian say the same line. Man, I ain't lying. If you have problems, I have solutions. If you have questions, I'm here to help you. It's getting real, y'all, it's getting real.
got their own way, do their own thing. Not a serving God, but they know him. How is it that you got understanding when you not keeping that one commandment? You don't even keep the Sabbath day, you don't even keep the holy days, nah, I know. You can be honest, you can be honest. Gonna be honest, gonna be honest. That ain't enough, nah, that ain't enough. I'ma have to make a phone call to prophets, they gon' have to show up, make it stop it now.